Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Akun Wong. I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And joining me today is special guest, but I think it's about time we just call him an honorary member of the podcast. It's Adam Aniva of the Burgundy Gold Report. Welcome back, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's always great chopping it up, man.
Yeah, so it's funny because we were just talking about this before the show, but the entire NFC, not just the NFC, has turned upside down in the last month. It's so crazy, actually. I mean, in a year like 2020, would you expect anything less? So this is going to be great. I'm really looking forward to getting your thoughts out today about that. But before we get into that, last time we spoke a little bit about Mandalorian and Baby Yoda, and since then they've told us Baby Yoda's real name, and his real name is Grogu. I got to ask you the question now because I've been polling everybody about this. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the name they gave Baby Yoda?
I think it's pretty cool, honestly. You know, I've been waiting the whole time thinking it's going to be something like Yoda, something similar. But for them to go somewhere totally different, I like it. I think it was creative. I'll be honest with you, I'm enjoying this show more than I've enjoyed the last 3-4 installments of Star Wars and Jedi. I think this is such a well-done show.
No doubt. I totally agree with you that. I mean, this has been this season and the last season combined have been. I could have not even done the last trilogy and I would have been happy if they had given this what we just got so far in the last. And then getting some color on Boba Fett. That's amazing. That's great stuff.
Oh, that did it for me. Yeah.
Amazing. You realize? I mean, like the first time he ever appeared was in a cartoon. Back in the holiday special, little-known holiday special that Star Wars did back in the late 70s, and that is crazy. If you think about it, we went from there to where we are today. It's amazing. And the fact that we knew nothing about him until basically 3 weeks ago. But yeah, I have to say this. Okay, Adam, I have to say I disagree with Grogu. When I heard that name, I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I've just decided that I'm just going to keep calling him Baby Yoda from here on in. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ignore Star Wars canon for the first time in my life. All right, here we are. We got a lot more stuff to disagree with today. So let's just talk about the real good stuff. We got a lot to talk about in the NFL. We're going to be talking about the NFC East because things have changed over the last month. And we're going to be breaking down the Washington football team, the New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys. And then we're going to talk about games that we are looking forward to watch in Week 15. So with that said, let's go ahead and get this rolling. All right, the NFC East has gone topsy-turvy. I mean, it was the laughingstock of the NFL last we spoke a month ago, but it's since rebounded and now is just maybe passable. Who knows? I mean, heck, we're getting close to a team in the NFC East that might be 500. Unbelievable. So let's go ahead and get started. And I'm going to ask you, Adam, the same question about each of these teams. Let's go in order, though, in the way they are currently situated in the NFC East. The question I'm going to ask you is, what have they done differently over the last month? Sure. And in your opinion, is it a sustainable positive or negative change overall? And then I'm going to ask you to update your prediction for them through the end of the regular season. So let's start with your Washington football team, now sitting at 6-7 on a nice heater here, beating the Bengals, Cowboys, Steelers, and 49ers, 4-game win streak in that win against the then undefeated Steelers, incredibly impressive. You know, interestingly, the only team in the NFC East with a positive point differential compared to teams they play, they're at +12. No other team is close. Giants at -53, Eagles at -51, and the Cowboys at an amazing -102. So maybe they're doing something right, maybe not. Let's start with them. What are your thoughts on the Washington football team?
Well, as you said, it's been a total turnaround, and I think to not give credit to Ron Rivera during this whole situation, we mentioned last time we talked about, you know, going through the cancer treatment. You know, when we talked last, he was just starting that. So he's just completed that. Probably, I think, 2 weeks ago he did. And then you have Alex Smith. And I'll admit, you know, I bet against Alex Smith because not that he's anything great, but I didn't know if he could even come in and manage the game well enough. But I think we've seen that he can. I think the brief time that he was in the San Francisco game, it was ugly. That's for multiple reasons. I think you can't put that all on him, but I think from the beginning, something looked off. So before that whole muscle strain, calf strain, something wasn't adding up. But other than that, this defense is playing, you know, you and me, we've talked for a while now when they started building this defense, and then after they solidified it with Chase Young, I told you this is going to be the strength of this team. And if it does come together with Del Rio, which I think it can, this is not just going to be a good defense. It's going to be a defense that can lead the team. So right now, I wouldn't bet against them at all. I think they're going to sweep out the rest of the year. We saw Seattle, you know, lose to the Giants. I see no reason that Washington has a better defense, in my opinion, and the rankings will back that up as far as the Seattle game. But I still think that's going to be the hardest game going forward for the rest of the year. Philadelphia definitely changed the script. We'll see if that quarterback situation will still be the same in 3 weeks. But I don't think that makes them a tremendous a team that's really got much better, to be honest with you, because I think the first game, he's always going to look good. He had 106 yards rushing as the quarterback. But I think teams are going to start to get the tape on that. So I think people have to be temperate as far as Philadelphia goes. But as far as Washington goes, I think that they're going to win out. I think they'll get that final 9-8. I think they'll have the fourth seed going into the playoffs for hosting the home playoff game, the wild card round.
Wow. That is, you know, I mean, it's impressive. Imagine that. I mean, just the course of 1 month has made a huge difference. Because last we spoke, you know, obviously they were in much worse shape. It was before their four-game win streak, and of course, like I said, the impressive win against the Steelers. Let me ask you a question about that Steelers game. Is that more a situation where we found out what the Washington football team can do in terms of positives, or is that more a situation of showing the true colors of the Steelers? In that they're not really as good as an undefeated team as they once thought.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think some were definitely quicker to say that Pittsburgh wasn't as good as everybody thought, but I think it's nonsense because as far as what Alex Smith did, nearly 300 yards, I wouldn't get crazy on that because I definitely think there was situations with Gibson, with Cam Sims. There was really a lot of plays made after the catch, and most of those passes were within 5 yards. But it's the defense. It's been consistent week after week after week. And I think that their identity right now is not just a smash-mouth defense. They're knocking balls down at the line. So when you have a combination of, you know, Sweat and Young, Daron Payne, you have speed, you have length, and you just have, you know, sheer will to win on every play. I think that's what their identity right now. I think they're adopting what Chase Young's brought to the table as well as Rivera is. And now you have Alex Smith. So you're talking about comeback player of the year and Alex Smith, potential coach of the year in Rivera. And then you have defensive rookie of the year in Chase Young. I don't see right now who's going to take that. You know, I've seen some good performances, but I think the way they're just putting together everything right now, it's not even a fan. This is somebody looking on the outside because, honestly, I've tempered my expectations. I wanted to see how the San Francisco game went. And the defense went leaps and bounds. I understand we're talking about a far lesser quarterback in what San Francisco has and what they'll be facing in Wilson. But I don't think that this defense is going to let up. I think you might have first quarters that are shaky. But unlike the previous wins that Washington had, they buckled down in the second quarter, unlike the last three games where it was the second half. So I think you're going to see nothing but you know, positive going forward. The concern is the quarterback situation. I think when Haskins came out there, we saw a lot of the same tendencies, a lot of the same mechanical issues that, you know, coaches obviously didn't like, you know, all study habits aside. That's a big issue for Washington. But from everyone would say Tom Pelissero reported this morning, they're expecting Smith to play. Seattle's defense is nowhere as good as Pittsburgh and 49ers. So I see no reason if Smith plays that Washington can't, you know, squeak out this win. But I have them winning out and taking the division.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people are on the bandwagon in terms of them taking the division, winning out. That would be impressive. That would bring them up to 9-7 right now, currently 6-7, 3 games left, as you mentioned, Seahawks, Panthers, and Eagles left in the regular season. That would be impressive. Let me ask you this. If they go 9-7, if they look, you know, competitive in the postseason, is Alex Smith the answer for the Washington football team?
Answer, no. No. And everybody knows that. Alex Smith knows that. Rivera knows that. We're talking about bridge now. We're not talking about the answer. So he's played well enough in these last 3-4 weeks to show me he's the bridge. I tell you, he's definitely challenged a lot of us fans, though, because, you know, the last week it was the bloody leg, and this week it was the surgically repaired leg that luckily only was a calf strain. So 3 weeks might not sound like a lot of, you know, games to go, but it's going to be a lot to get through that. And you're talking about hosting a home playoff game with potentially, from what everyone's looking at now, Tampa Bay, Seattle, or the Rams, so which will probably be with the fifth seed. So I think right now you don't bet against them. It's not a fandom for me. This is just a situation where you can't bet against any team that's playing defense like this. And I think Chase Young is showing, you know, he's definitely the most exciting defensive player in the league right now.
So let me ask you this question. Assuming we end the season right now, what positions should the Washington football team be looking to draft next year?
No, it's not even a question. Like you said, quarterback. But
quarterback,
there's a big
but
with that. It's all about position. It's all about where you're going to fall in the draft. If you're talking about top 10, which that's not going to happen, as we're looking around the NFC in the league right now, I think the best case you're saying is Washington lost out somewhere in the 15 range. You're talking about some of the better quarterbacks, you know, Lawrence, you know, that forget that, Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. I have all those guys going in the top 20. So if you're talking about Washington falling somewhere in that range, I think then you're probably going to look to the next area of strength of the draft, which is going to be wide receiver, left tackle, cornerback, tight end. It's going to be some playmakers. A guy I've fallen in love with is this tight end out of Florida, Pitt. He's made Trask, who is an okay quarterback, look like a Heisman finalist. So, you know, that's a guy that I really fit to Washington. I think if, you know, a lot of people look at McLaurin and bringing someone in with him, and I think they can do that. But I think you have a guy like Logan Thomas, who's really shown some versatility. I actually just wrote an article on him. I think bringing him together with a guy like Pitt, which is just an athletic guy, a freak who brings, you know, his basketball ability to field. I think you have an offense that, you know, really stuttered this year. And even if we're talking about someone like Alex Smith riding it out for six, even, you know, weeks, even a full season, when you have tight ends like that, McLaurin, and potentially in the run game with Gibson and McKissick, I think you have an offense that can run, you know, definitely put up enough points with this defense.
Yep, most definitely. We were interested to see what they do and the build, rebuild, and obviously the defense looks legit, Chase Young being everything that we hope for. Let's move on to the next team that we want to talk about, and that is the New York Giants. So let's go ahead and the bell on this one. And the New York Giants currently sitting there in second, and a really interesting position for them. They are 5-8 right now. And like I said, a negative 53-point differential, but it's not even so bad compared to the rest of the NFC East. They had won four in a row, though, against Washington, the Eagles, the Bengals, and impressively the Seattle Seahawks prior to losing in Week 14 to the Cardinals. And, of course, that win against Seattle Seahawks with backup quarterback Colt McCoy, someone that I'm assuming that you are quite familiar with, Adam. So let me ask you the same question about the New York Giants. What types of changes did they make? Is it sustainably positive or negative? And update your prediction for me.
I tell you, their coach, Joe Judge, he's really surpassed anything I thought he could do. I think right now, you know, even going into the offseason, I think the Giants are in a great position right now to even battle for, you know, the division title next year, even if they don't get it this year. Because I think I'm not a huge fan of Daniel Jones, but I think he's shown enough that, you know, he can be that guy for them. Their defense, that's who's really surprising. So I don't think that they're really that many pieces away from being a playoff team. You know, in saying that, you're looking a wide receiver and a left tackle that can instantly make a difference on that team. Because although they did draft Thomas out of Georgia, I think he's shown that he's not a true blindside protector. He's probably more on the right side. And I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't work out to see him shift inside. And I think they've got aging veterans around the team also at left tackle. So I think that's definitely a position that would make a big difference with their team along with wide receiver. But I think they're real close to consistently contending for the playoffs because I think they're just probably one of the best coached teams in the NFL right now next to Washington.
Interesting. And of course, we saw what happened with Colt McCoy against Seattle. Then, of course, this last weekend with the Cardinals, there was Daniel Jones who came back. Didn't look quite right, a little bit unclear. From your comments, I'm assuming you think Daniel Jones is the long-term answer for them. They have other places they can build around. Is there a place for Colt McCoy in the NFL? What do you think?
Like you mentioned about Jones, I just think they'll at least stick that out for another year, 2 years to see if he can, you know, sustain it. But I said it from the beginning. He's somebody that relied on his athletic ability, and he's getting punished because of it. And I think because everyone's catching on, McCoy, nothing more than a backup. He gets you in for, you know, a quick game or two, Anything more than that, you're asking for trouble. So they're going to have a hard time winning any more games going forward because, you know, even if Jones does play, he's coming to those games limping out. So I don't see him finish. If he starts any game, I don't see him finishing it. So I think they're going to have a hard time from here on out. But as far as the future for them, I think that's definitely a team on the rise.
Yep, and so I'm going to ask you the same question about the New York Giants. What positions should they be drafting for next year?
Yeah, I think wide receiver and left tackle are probably the two that they'll have their eye on. If they continue the slide, they're definitely going to be in position to grab one of the top receivers in the draft. And you're talking about, you know, we thought last year it was deep. This year, you're talking about just the Alabama kids alone. You're talking about 3-4 guys that if they all declare,
right,
you know, we could see all of them go in the first round. That's how crazy it is, and that's just that school. So I think that's definitely something they're going to – ever since the Odell Beckham trade, they never suitably filled that. Everybody on their team are a bunch of number twos. So I think that's probably one of their top needs. And like I said, it's all about left tackle. If they can get the best left tackle in the draft, the kid from Oregon, they'll definitely pull the trigger. But
yep,
wide receiver to me seems like a no-brainer for them.
And update your prediction for me. Right now they're sitting at 5-8. They have the Browns, Ravens, and Cowboys coming up to finish up the season. What's your prediction for the Giants' record?
Yeah, I think they'll lose. They'll beat the Dallas at the end in a close game. But I have them finishing at 6-10.
Okay, yeah, 6-10 sounds reasonable for a team that before looked like would be incredibly laughable, but looks like now they may be building for the future. All right, let's go ahead and hit the bell on that team, and let's move on to the next team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Oops, totally hit the wrong. I didn't mean to boo the New York Giants. That was totally a mistake on my part. That's the bell I was trying to hit. Sorry, New York Giants fans. That was totally a Freudian slip right there. Philadelphia Eagles. Let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. They are at 4-8-1. They look like they were actually four weeks ago when we last spoke. It actually looked like the Eagles might take the NFC East and that there might not be any competition there, but they're coming off a four-game slide, losing to the Giants, Browns, Seahawks, and Packers before deciding to bench the million-dollar man, Carson Wentz, and starting second-round rookie Jalen Hurts, who pulled off a surprising upset of the New Orleans Saints in Week 14. So interesting to talk about this team, and you mentioned a little bit about Jalen Hurts earlier in the show, but let's talk about the Eagles. What kinds of changes have they made? Are they sustainably positive or negative? And then update your prediction for them.
I think they've definitely taken a huge step back, and a lot's getting put on Carson Wentz's shoulder right now, but I think the collapse of that offensive line, which is similar to what's happening in Dallas, has really exposed, mm-hmm, you know, a lot of weaknesses in their scheme, a lot of weaknesses in Wentz. And I think ever since he's had his surgeries, his back issues, his knee issues, he's not the same quarterback. You've heard all the talk about possibly, you know, them moving on the offseason. It's just too much money. But I think you could see a trade if a team is also looking to unload a big salary on their end and kind of do a swap because it would make sense for both ends. But Jalen Hurts, again, I'm an Alabama fan. I liked him when I at Alabama. Went into Oklahoma, he actually far exceeded what I thought he would. I think he can be a very good quarterback, but I don't think he can be a great quarterback. So I don't think he's the answer. I think they will ride it out through the next year. I don't think they'll be looking for a quarterback until at least 2022. But I think right now they're a mess because along their defense, they've got skill players, but they just keep whiffing and missing on receivers. I really like Jalen Reagor. You know, they definitely hit a home run with their small school stud too. But they're really lacking in a lot of skill positions. So Philadelphia, to me, they're going to have a lot of shakeups in the offseason. And right now what they have, I don't see them sustaining. I think they have to have a total change right now.
And I have to ask this question. In this shakeup, do you see a future for Doug Peterson?
I think that the last three games will matter. I've heard people say it won't matter, but I think it does. I think if you see him go out and they lose the next three games, I think that they will get rid of him. But I think if they stay competitive as they have with when Hurts came in, I think that definitely helped. That probably saved his job. He's probably safe for this year. He's probably safe for 2021 at least.
Okay, and then, of course, the last two questions, I know you already know what they're going to be, but what should they be drafting for next year? I mean, as you said, lots of needs out there. They haven't been so good at hitting in those wide receivers, at least they're in their top picks. But what positions do you think they should be going after in the draft?
Well, they tried to fill left tackle with Dillard. Then we saw him go down. They tried to bring back Peters as a guard. Then they needed to move him to tackle. He's got, I think he's pushing 40 now. So I would say left tackle has to be their top need. But you talk to other people and they say, you know, they need to keep going wide receiver. Because as good as Rieger is, they passed on Jefferson, man. That you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Automatically right now, it's already we don't have to wait 2-3 years. Rieger is going to be a decent player. I see him as on the longer lines of DeSean Jackson, but Jefferson, you know, we're talking about could he be as, you know, Julio Jones, even better. So they definitely missed up on that. But this is the draft that you probably think they're going to go wide receiver again. So the question is, when wide receiver and left tackle on the board, you know, who's the best at that position as far as on their board. So, but those are the main two I see. I think the rest are going to have to really go out in free agency and spend big to even stay competitive next year. But I think next year will be the last year for Peterson unless he takes him to the playoffs.
Yeah, and imagine that they could have had DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson right now.
Right,
instead, they have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and of course, Jalen Rieger. And as you mentioned, Rieger still has some potential there, but Whiteside gone, so to speak, at least practically speaking. All right, so let's see here. They're sitting here at 4-8-1. I had a friend who was an Eagles fan saying that tie might get us to championship and that might get us past the NFC East. I don't see that happening anymore, but 4-8-1, they got the Cardinals, Cowboys, and the Washington football team coming up. Predict out the rest of the season for me.
I have them winning one more. They'll be Dallas, 5-10-1. Easy answer.
All right, 5-10-1 for the Eagles. Lots of work for them to do in the offseason. Let's go ahead and hit the bell on that one and move on to our last team. Woo, the Dallas Cowboys. Holy cow, the Cowboys have looked completely checked out after losing Dak Prescott earlier in the year. They did manage to beat the struggling Bengals in Week 14. Oh, it's just it's hard to watch, but boy, those Dallas Cowboys sitting right now at 4-9, point differential of -102. I don't know what there is to say about these guys, but tell me, what do you think? Have they made any changes at all that you think are positive? What is your prediction for them going into the rest of the season?
I don't see them winning another game. I see them losing out. I think that they just haven't done enough on the defensive side of the ball to really stay competitive. I think, you know, they're focused on the sexy pass rushers, just like Washington. But what Washington did is they built from the inside out. And if you look at teams historically, some of the better teams have built that way from the trenches. I think Cowboys and Jerry Jones have always looked for that easy fix. But again, it comes down to Dak. No matter what the defense is, if they have Dak right now, I don't think we're having the same conversation. I think that Dallas is probably in the lead right now, with Washington probably being really competitive. But I think if they don't bring back, it's all for nothing. I think that they might as well start a rebuild. It's who cares if they have great receivers? If they're just going to try to scrap it up and, you know, maybe go after a quarterback, I could see that. There's some good guys in the draft. But getting Dak back is key. But if they want to keep their quarterback upright, they've had a lot of bad luck. So I would say if they're smart, they're going to focus on the O-line. But, man, they need a shutdown cornerback, because everybody they get seems to be no better than a 2 or 3.
Right, absolutely. There are lots of issues back there. So Dak Prescott coming back, and you think they are going to be competitive next year. But then what should they be focusing on in the draft?
I think they have to continue to keep their quarterback upright. You know, their strength was the O-line and how much money and how much they've invested. And we've slowly seen them go down one by one, retirement. What's happening with their left tackle was very similar to what happened with Chris Samuels, you know, about over a decade ago in Washington with the neck injuries. I think that they're going to – I don't see Jerry Jones having the patience to do that again and slowly build it up like he did, because – that made him a strength, but they just neglected the other side of the ball. But I think that, you know, just like every team, they can probably pass together a line, but they have to get that shutdown corner. I think if they're in right now, they'll definitely be in the top 10. They could probably get one of the top corners in the draft. You know, definitely the kid from Alabama. There's definitely a few out there, but I would say cornerback is definitely their top need going into the draft.
Right. And you've already predicted for us the fact that they have 3 games, the 49ers, Eagles, and Giants coming up. They won't win another game. They'll put them at 4-12. Tough year for the Dallas Cowboys, but of course there's a light at the end of the tunnel if Dak Prescott comes back. One last question on them. Mike McCarthy, is he to blame for some of the things that have gone on? Obviously Dak Prescott going out doesn't help, but what do you think about Mike McCarthy going into next year?
I think he's a horrible coach. He's, you know, there's not many coaches in the first year where you don't think, you know, give them slack, especially someone who's been out of the game for a while. I actually respected him. You know, I watched a whole ESPN special about his business, his scouting business, the offseason, and thought, you know, he'll actually do okay. I don't know how good he'll do, but man, he's a crap show. I think that Jerry Jones, like I said, they'll lose the rest of the games, and he'll just fire him at the end of the day. I don't think he's going to have patience to wait one more year, because McCarthy is just a perfect example of a coach who it's totally passed him by, and he just is not surrounding himself with, you know, enough people to succeed. So I think Jerry Jones will do what he does best and just start it all over again. So I think that'll be a big factor in Dak coming back as well.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. So that is it. The NFC East, let's ring the bell on that. Get to our last topic of the day, and that is Week 15 games that we're looking forward to. We're getting down to the wire, only 3 weeks left. Lots of interesting games that may play out on the NFC side and on the AFC side now that Pittsburgh has lost twice. So let me ask you this question. What games in Week 15 are you looking forward to and why?
Oh, well, we got to start with Washington at Seattle, the home game from Washington. I think this is just an opportunity for them. They're gaining national respect now as the team that you don't want to play. I think Russell Wilson, we saw how they played against Kyler Murray, and he really tore them up. So he concerns me out of everyone. I know everyone talks about DK Metcalf and these other guys, but to me it's all about Wilson in this game. So to me that's a great game when you have the Washington pass rush versus Wilson. I think last I checked it was either number one or number two in sacks they've taken in the NFL. So the difference of other teams is if Washington sacks you, they're going to cause some fumbles and turnovers, and they're going to take it to the house. So the Washington-Seattle game tops my list. But I think from what we're hearing, it sounds like Drew Brees is going to be returning. So the New Orleans-Kansas City,
yep,
that's another must-see game. I think that could be, you know, dare I say, a preview for the Super Bowl possibly, just based on the way that New Orleans defense has been playing, you know, up until the last game, of course. But I think that that could definitely be a Super Bowl preview matchup and, you know, a great game to see. Other than that, I follow with the following NFC East Division games, Arizona against Philly and New York Giants versus Cleveland, all impactful games to the division. And I think all those games together are going to really lead up to some good games. I don't think any of those games on the schedule are going to be blowouts. All of them are going to be close games, all definitely within 7 points.
Yep, I agree of all those things that you said. And actually, that interestingly enough, you know, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, twice now, on both sides of this actually, but the fact that Jalen Hurts has a particular style, there wasn't a lot of tape on him at that point. It may not be as successful going forward as people start to see him play. The Saints defense, I think, is for real. And actually, I have a guy that I talked to who is a big Eagles guy, and he's the first to say that the Saints defense probably just didn't prepare properly to defend against a threat like Jalen Hurts. They didn't have enough tape on him. They didn't know how he was going to play, and that was part of the reason why he was so successful against the Saints. So that being said, I do think the Saints have plenty of tape on Patrick Mahomes. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out this weekend. Definitely at the top of my list. I would also say, interestingly to me, a team that I think is doing poorer than I think they should, and a team that's doing almost better than I think they should, the Chargers and the Raiders playing on Thursday Night Football. You know, it's not must-see TV, but Justin Herbert looks like the real deal to me. I feel like the Chargers should be winning more, but they just don't. And I feel like the Raiders, I don't know, it's just a feeling of overachievement to me. But for some reason, they're always in it. So that's another game that I have my eye on. And, of course, I've got to watch my Bears lose again, hopefully, so that they can get a better draft position. So there we go. That is the end of the podcast. I can't believe we got to the end. It always goes so fast. Let's go ahead and hit the air horn on the show here. All right. So thank you so much, Adam, for joining us. As always, great information from you. Everyone, check out the Burgundy and Gold Report. Terrific information there. Adam promotes some of the things he's written about recently. Always great information. All the small school prospects, they go to Adam, okay? They go find him, and they tell him all the great information. So you want the inside scoop on them. There's no better place to go. Adam, is there anything you'd like to promo for us before we sign off?
Find me at burgundyandgoldreport.wordpress.com. I've recently been done a few podcasts. I was doing a series with the Burgundy Network called Draft in Burgundy. We actually sat down with Jordan Reed of the Draft Network. You can find that video and Apple iTunes on burgundyandgoldreport.wordpress.com. And follow me on at the BNG Report. Always talking ball. Always not only looking at the small school prospects, looking at the top end of the draft, and of course with Washington staying competitive,
absolutely,
it's always about the burgundy and gold. But really appreciate you having me on, man. I always have a great time.
It is great stuff, and our listeners are the ones who win because you're here. So fantastic stuff. Everyone go check that out. It's great. You will not regret it. Thanks again, everyone, for listening and wasting time with us. And until next time, enjoy your NFL week.